This morning's reading is from the Gospel of John, chapter 4, starting to read at verse 28. John, chapter 4, verse 28. Then, leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, "Come, see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Christ?" They came out of the town and made their way towards him. Meanwhile, his disciples urged him, "Rabbi, eat something." But he said to them, "I have food to eat that you know nothing about." Then his disciples said to each other, "Could someone have brought him food?" "My food," said Jesus, "is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Do you not say, 4 months more and then the harvest? I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. Even now the reaper draws his wages. Even now he harvests the crop for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper may be glad together. Thus the saying, 'One sows and another reaps,' is true. I sent you to reap what you have not worked for. Others have done the hard work, and you have reaped the benefits of their labor." Many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. "He told me everything I ever did." So when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed 2 days. And because of his words, many more became believers. They said to the woman, "We no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the Savior of the world." This is the word of the Lord.
When I was thinking about this message earlier in the week and a few weeks ago, I had a particular plan in mind. Then last evening, that all got thrown out the window, and I had to start again because of some events taking place yesterday, which I will explain as we go through our time, the rest of the time again this morning. We're in the middle of a series of looking at life-changing questions. And the question today is, could this be the Christ? Could this be the Messiah? Could this be the sent one? Could this be the hope of the universe, the hope of all the earth? That's the question that was raised. And the lady who we were thinking about, actually a few weeks ago, finished the story, if you like, again to this morning, is a woman who said, "Could this be the man who knows everything? He's told me everything I ever did." She was very, very enthusiastic. As you know, many of you know, we've got 2 grandsons, Margaret and myself. And the oldest one is 3 years of age, is a very keen and a very enthusiastic little boy. And every time he makes a new discovery, he says, "Come and see. Come and see what I found." And it's a delight when you see him like that, just to see something new. This last week we were in Swanbridge, and it was a lovely day on Thursday, and he wanted to go there. And there we were going to the rock pool and say, "Oh, come and see, I found a crab," or "I found a whatever it might be." There's that enthusiasm that was there. There was something that was grabbing him, and he just couldn't help but want to tell somebody else about it. That's exactly, you know, what we're doing this morning here. We've been enthusiastic, I hope, telling one another what we know, that we know of a man who knows everything about us, who still loves us, who cares for us so much that he died for us upon a cross. And he wants us to have a relationship with him. He wants to hang out with us, as we were told last week. He wants us to be with him for now and for eternity. It's not just about worship. It's great to worship. It's good to sing the songs. It's good to pray. But it's also good as well just to talk to one another of the faith that we've got, to share something of God's grace upon our lives with one another. And this woman here had met with Jesus. And when she met with Jesus, the first thing she wanted to do was to go and tell other people about it. I'm going to come on to that maybe a little bit later on. But I want to go back a little bit first of all, because put in a bit of the background to this story. Steve preached on this a few weeks ago. And so I hope we're not going to steal anything of what he said at that time or go over too much, but just give a little bit of a little background to this, a quick overview if you like. Jesus was on his way back to Galilee In fact, he had to go through Sychar and go through this well at Samaria. And there he was going to meet with this particular lady. They didn't know that, but she did. She didn't know that, but he did. The disciples at this point had gone to get some food because it was quite late in the day, quite a hot part of the day. And so in the meantime, Jesus sits at the well. And when he's sitting at the well, he strikes up a conversation with a Samaritan woman. And he starts to talk to her about the living water that he could give. Now, it wasn't a good thing to do in those days. He was a man who was a Jew. He's in Samaria, and he's talking to somebody who was an outcast. Someone who was set aside from everybody else. There's really three reasons I say that. First of all, in these days, if you were a woman, as far as the Jew was concerned, you were a little better than the dog. Now, that's not scriptural, by the way. But it was their attitude at the time. They thought women were the lowest of the low. And they thanked God, actually, men, that they were not made as women. Not a good thing to do. Not only that, she was a half-breed. As a Samaritan, she was half-Jewish, if you like, and she was half from the local people of the region. When the Israelites had gone into Israel, the king of Assyria brought people into the land, and they intermarried. They were not supposed to do that, but they did. And as a result, they were half-breeds. So they were hated by the Jews, and also they hated the Jews too. The feeling was mutual. They weren't good people to be with, as it would be. So she had two problems. First, she was a woman, and then she came from this race that was hated by the Jewish people. But then thirdly, Jesus brings out very clearly that she's a sinner, because he starts to talk to her about her lifestyle, be able to share with her something about her background, and says about all the men that she's had in her life. Now, I don't want to go too much into that. I don't want to labor maybe what Steve might have said at the time. But this lady had a sinful background. So she had three strikes, if you like, didn't you? A woman, a Samaritan, and a sinner. And yet Jesus still spoke to her. Because Jesus knew this woman needed to have a relationship with God. You see, the one thing about Jesus is nobody is outside of his grace or his love or his mercy. It doesn't matter who you are, where backwards you might come from, however evil you might be, God still loves them. The word we often say is that God maybe loves us and the people we like around us. But John 3:16 tells me this, God so loved the world. And last time I checked out, that's every continent and every person in every continent as well. It doesn't relate just to one or two people that we might like. God loves everybody. And Jesus set aside all his prejudices that could have been there to meet with this particular woman. And as he met with this woman, she realized he cared. He had something for her. He had something to offer her that nobody else could do so. He was offering her living water, life forevermore. You see, to Jesus, it doesn't matter about our lifestyle. It doesn't matter about our color, our race, our gender, our background. He cares about us. He wants us to come to him. He shed his blood for absolutely everybody, not just for a select group of people. And as we think about that, we have to realize that the root of all our need is salvation. We need to know God in our lives. We need to know Jesus in our lives. And this message I want to share with you is how we can do that with other people this morning. Because it's absolutely vital that people get to understand who Jesus is. Not have a preconceived notion of who he is, but a reality of who he is. The Son of God. The Messiah. The Christ. The one who is the sent one from God. The King of the universe. But the one who cares about us. The one who comes alongside us. The one who actually comes to indwell us, as we think about it in a moment in time. You see, this lady had to be confronted with her sin, but at the same time, she had to be confronted with a Savior as well. We don't want to talk about sin, do we, today? In fact, I suspect very much if you went outside and you talked to people about sin, they wouldn't know what you're really talking about. And you're very specific about what it means. It's not just the outward activities. It's a denial of God in our lives and a separation from God. That's what really sin is. But Jesus came to deal with all of that when he came to die upon a cross. And he didn't hold back when he went to talk to the woman about sin. He didn't hold back and say, well, you know, there are some things you could just twist a little bit in your life and be okay. He confronted her with her sin. And as a result of that, she came into a different relationship. And she could be able to cry out, could this be the Christ? Could this be the man? This is the one we're hoping for, the one who's going to come and change lives, the one we've been looking for all our lives. And it's at this point I want to take up the story of what this lady was going to be doing. See, the disciples returned, as we didn't read the verse 27, but if we read it, the disciples returned, and they saw Jesus talking to this woman, and they couldn't believe it. He's talking to a woman. He's talking to a Samaritan. If they'd known her background, I think they'd have gone absolutely ballistic, because she was a sinner. You didn't do that in these days. But Jesus didn't care about that. That woman's soul was important to him. He was concerned about one soul, and he wanted to talk to her. And actually, as a result of that, there was going to be an implication for the rest of the people there in Sychar. The town itself was going to have a real impact. You see, the disciples thought they were a cut above her. They thought, she's too low. You don't speak to her. And yet Jesus was trying to get across to them, everybody is important in my eyes. That's a challenge to us too, isn't it? Because quite often, we segregate people. May not be physically, but mentally we do. We put them into compartments and say, they're the type of people we can talk to, but not to those. Jesus said we talk to everybody. It doesn't matter who they are. I can recall a number of years ago being involved in a Bible distribution up in Saddleworth Moor, and going to a particular hotel and walking into the hotel and seeing this rather gruff man in front of me. I talked to my colleagues around us and said, we're not getting anywhere here, are we? What a surprise when we started speaking to him. He opened up quite easily to us and he said, do what you want to do, and explained one of the two things that happened in this hotel just in the last previous week. You see, we don't know, do we? We just don't know. But everybody needs to have the message and share the message of good news. Thank you. I'm glad that somebody said that. Everyone needs to know that good news and share the message of good news. I remember when I was first a Christian, 41 years ago, I was very enthusiastic. I hope I'm still just as enthusiastic, but a bit more sensible about it now than maybe I was at the time. I'm sure at the time I was a bit pushy, and I was talking to people and couldn't help but share with people that Jesus had come into my life and had changed my life. You know, it's been infectious, isn't it, when you're a Christian, it should be, to be able to share that with other people who are around you, but in the most appropriate way. I don't think anybody did it in an appropriate way. I mentioned Steve earlier on, and I did share that I'm going to say something else about him earlier on in the service. He and I worked together many years ago, and we had one particular lady who we were witnessing to one day. We couldn't help but share with her. She started questions to us, and we told her we knew we were going to heaven. And she said to us, you were two presumptuous young men. I remember the phrase vividly. But we knew where we were going. We'd had an encounter with Jesus. He had changed our lives, and we couldn't help but share our faith with her and with others. Sadly, that lady died later last year. I don't know where she stood in terms of eternity. But it's important that we tell people that we're enthusiastic about our faith. The World Cup's going on. The Rugby World Cup's going on at the moment, isn't it? Yes. I'm not saying about the result yesterday. Sorry, Dandy. But I'll tell you now, if you go on the streets and you start to talk to people about the World Cup, everybody's going to be talking about it. Well, those are rugby fans anyway. And they don't care about it. They'll tell anybody about it. They're quite happy to talk about it. And they'll keep on talking about it because of their team or whatever was going on. This tournament's going to come to an end on the 31st of October. It starts again in 4 years' time in Japan. And it'll start over again. But the message we've got is not just for 4 weeks to the end of October. It's forever. It's eternal. We've got an eternal message to share. Because of what God has done in our lives. Surely we should be enthusiastic, just as a rugby fan is. Just as the football fan is, or whoever else somebody might have out there as a passion in their lives. It's a passion in our hearts too, surely. A passion for Jesus. Why? Because of who he is. Look at the cross. The cross is where Jesus died for us. The Son of God loved me that much. He gave himself upon a cross for me and for you and for all the world. If he loved me that much, and he has loved me that much and loved you that much, surely there should be an enthusiasm there, as there was from this lady, to share her faith that she found with other people. And we have great opportunities here, don't we, in the fellowship here. Many opportunities to tell people about Jesus. To tell people, come and see. Come and see a man who told me everything about myself and still loves me, still cares for me, and will provide for me. You know, the disciples didn't fully grasp that. We read in verses 31 to 38. They were thinking about food. We're talking about harvest today. They were thinking about physical food. They'd gone into the village to buy some food for themselves and for Jesus. And Jesus said to them, look, I'm not so worried about that food. I've got food which is to the will of my Father in heaven. I've got food which satisfies my soul. And that is being enthusiastic, if you like, about who my Father is and telling everybody about him. So I didn't quite get it at the moment. They were going to get it, but not at this stage. Today is Harvest Thanksgiving, and it's great to be able to see what we've got here. Just a sample, if you like, of God's goodness to us. If you go to supermarkets, you go elsewhere, there's so much there. We're able to do it through Pharaoh's Pantry week in and week out. And we praise God for the opportunities we have to share in that practical way. And when we think of harvest, sometimes that's all we think about in terms of these things that are here, these physical things. But Jesus wasn't thinking about the physical things. He was thinking about the spiritual things. About the spiritual harvest. He told his disciples, look up. Look up. Look, the fields are ripe for harvest now. Not in 4 months' time, but they're ripe for harvest now. And as I thought about that, I thought about here and now and the opportunities we have as church. To be able to help people understand who Jesus is and what he means to us. I was so thrilled this week to see the email about the CAP Job Club. So encouraged to see that all that came along, they were so enthusiastic about it, they signed up, and every one of them agreed to be prayed for. Praise God for that. It's the beginnings of what God has said he's going to do for us. We need to step out in faith to do those things. We already see God at work there. We've got the comedy night I mentioned earlier on. A great opportunity for people to have a good laugh together, but also to be confronted with Jesus. To be have an encounter with him. We've got Pub Alpha. We've got Youth Alpha. We've got Extreme, Beyond Extreme, After Nine, The Flat Thing. We've got Jaffa Club. We've got Women's Hour. We've got so many activities that are here. Praise God for that. But more than that, we've got our own witness too. To tell people that Jesus means everything to you and everything to me. He is the hope of all mankind. We've got Pharaoh's Pantry here. We've got Home Access. Why do we have those things? Is it just to satisfy the social needs of the people around us? Partly. But it's also to share God's love with them as well. And as a result of that, we're beginning to see God move in individual lives. And that's great to see, isn't it? Because we are so enthusiastic, hopefully as a church and as individuals, we just can't help but tell people about Jesus. And the harvest is plentiful and is ready here and now. It's not 4 months hence. It's now. I mentioned I had to change my message last evening, and the reason was this, is that on my way home yesterday from a conference, I had a telephone call from one of my cousins, and I actually didn't know if she rung me because my phone was still in meeting mode. So when I got, and we stopped the car to get something to eat, I put my phone on properly and I see that my cousin had rung me twice. Which is unusual. And so I thought I'd better give her a call. She didn't mean very well. And she gave me the news that her mum, my aunt, had died. Very suddenly indeed. It wasn't something that was expected. She was 90 years of age. She lived a very good life. She was a very good person, a very kind person. But the thing that challenged me the most is, in terms of her faith, I don't know where she stood. I really don't know where she stood. I've spoken to her over the years, as other members of my family who are Christians had. And although she was all those nice things, I'm not sure. And that challenged me. I'm not going to beat myself up about it. I can't think about that now. But it challenged me that I must speak to other people when I got the opportunity of the one who loved me, and the one who continues to love me, the one who provides for me, and the one who wants to have a hang out with me forevermore. Now, it's not easy, is it? It's not easy to do things like that. I'm not suggesting it is. But Claire reminded us last week about something which stayed with me. That Jesus is always with us. Now, I know we know that, but the way she did it last week really touched me. When she did the meditation of thinking there she was in the kitchen and that Jesus was there as she was cutting the vegetables. And I was thinking of some places where I was. I know other people were at the time. But Jesus is always with us. And though we might be scared rigid when we start to speak to somebody, it's amazing how he gives us the words and he gives us the strength. As long as we're prepared to open up our mouths and tell somebody about Jesus. Now, it has to be backed up by our lives, by the way. It's not just our lips. It has to be married up with our lives. If there's not consistency there, it's hypocritical. But if as long as the consistency, then we might begin to see something happen. You see, this woman went and told her people. And when she told her people, they were curious. They were curious, well, this woman, what's she on about? Let's go and find out for ourselves. And as a result of them coming, they heard Jesus for themselves. And they said right at the end of this passage that was read to us, we believe now, not because you told us, but because we've experienced it for ourselves. That's the point of sharing our faith, that others will experience it. And if you like, there will be a contagion. It will go on and on and on and on. You know, I hear stories that the church in this country is on its last legs. No, it's not. God is in control. It's on its last legs in the sense, in material level, and maybe in terms of our secular ways. If we turn back to God, it's amazing what he will do. God is at work in our nation. There is a harvest of souls waiting to be brought into the kingdom of God. Over the years, people have sowed seeds. I believe we're coming to a time of reaping, where the sower and the reaper can rejoice together. But if we're going to do that, we need to offer them something. The truth is found in God himself. Explain to them what the Bible really says. I heard a story yesterday which was really amazing, of a guy in India, strange, we saw a film about India, a guy in India who picked up a testament because he wanted to disprove all the contradictions in the Bible. He wanted to get all the contradictions that were there and disprove all the things about the Christian life. He wanted to mock all the Christians. But after 1 year, after reading through the testament, he came to an understanding that actually Jesus is who he is, claims to be, the Son of God. He understood exactly what he did when he died upon that cross, and he became a Christian. He went back into his village and he built a church. He now has planted 300 churches in South India. If there is something really worthwhile offering, and we have got something worthwhile offering, it's amazing how the harvest comes. Those churches are continuing to grow because of one man seeking. And there are people out there this morning who are seeking the things of God. Maybe seeking in all the wrong places. But we've got the right answer. We've got the answer in Jesus himself. And all we need to do is to speak about him. Share what he's done for us, that he can do for them too. You see, these people understood that he was the Messiah. He really is the sent one of God. But if we're going to understand that, we have to have a vision, don't we? We really have to have a vision to understand a little bit wider just than those people around us. A real vision. A vision for Jesus and a vision for the lost. John Peterson, many years ago, wrote a poem, if you like, which became a song. And it's this. Give me a vision, Lord, I plead. Vision of souls and a world in need. Loved ones and friends, the one next door. Then let me see. There are millions more. Give me a vision, Lord divine, kindle with fire this cold heart of mine. May with unselfishness it burn, brimming with love and a deep concern. Give me a vision, Lord divine, so charged with power that it shall shine out to the lost in deepest night, wandering alone in their sad, sad plight. Give me a vision, Lord divine, without a limit or boundary line. Help me to see a world in sin, not just the field I am working in. Give me a vision, a heart-stirring vision. Open my eyes, Lord, today. Show me the sign, the doomed and the dying. Give me a vision, Lord, I pray. Amen. May the Lord bless you, and may the Lord keep you. Lord, make his face to shine upon you, and may he be gracious to you. May the Lord smile towards you and give you peace, both now and forevermore. Let's say the grace together. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.